It's always a joy to come back to Olney. Some of you might not be aware of this, but 42 years ago, I came here. Y'all were supporting me when I preached in Canada, which is where I'm originally from. I have since taken out U.S. citizenship since all my kids and grandkids live here. My wife's from the States. So that's when I say, if I use an illustration about America and I say we, I can say we because I'm a citizen. Legally, by the way, I'll stress that. But it's such a joy to be with you and to reminisce when I was here to give you an idea. I mean, you talk about 42 years ago. I stayed with Harold and Barbara Ash. I guess some of y'all know who they are. And I remember when I drove past, I kind of brought back some memories there too. And so there's just a lot of wonderful memories, and I appreciate the good church here that's been here for so long and continuing to do a good work, which is great. Sorry, Mike, I guess I was here before you were even born. That's just the way it is. All right, well, we're going to study. Let me bring this up quickly. And, this is what he did before, and then he says he just X's that out. Now, when I hit start, will it start? Whoa, good stuff. Okay. All right, so this morning, for those who were not in the class, we were talking about Jesus being our perfect example, the greatest example when it comes to evangelism. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be going to Acts, the third chapter, to begin with this morning. I thought we'd have a back-to-back lessons that relates to this, and so what we're going to be talking about, what contributes to conversions, okay? And we're going to be talking about that and possibly even reminding ourselves of what we've done in the past. But again, chapter 3 of Acts, beginning in verse 14, and I'll just read down through 21. It said, "But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murder to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, who God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, and that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." There they were, standing up, trying to convince people and being aware of the fact of who Jesus is and wanting people to become Christians, being converted to Christ. As we talked about this morning, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, this is why Jesus came. He came to save his people from their sins. I want us to be aware of the fact that if we're going to have success, if we really want people to be converted, and I can remember being invited to Kirkwood, and I know they were all excited, and, you know, let's just focus on evangelism. You know, L.A. Stouffer, as you all know, good man, still there, did a great work and preached for 40 years there, over 40 years, did a great work, and had a preacher training set up there. Man would come in for 2 years, and then they would go off and preach, and he'd bring somebody else in. Well, the elders there said, "You know what? We really want to do a good work here, and we really want to." And they've been evangelizing, but they want to put more emphasis. So we get the TV program going. We're on Sunday mornings and Saturday mornings with the TV program. Contacts every week, studying with people. It's been wonderful. But as I mentioned this morning, as I told the brethren of Kirkwood, you don't get caught up in the numbers. We need to focus on just planting and watering. I'm worried about the results. People say, "Chuck, how many people signed up for the correspondence course this year?" Last year was almost 300. This year we already have 700. And somebody will say to me, well, Chuck, of those 70 so far since January 1st of this year, how many people have responded? I said, look, I don't know. I'm not keeping track of numbers. We're just excited to get the word out. We want people to listen to the word of God. And see, that leads us to our first point. When you talk about what contributes to conversion, the very first thing we want people to remember is we're going to look at some powers. And the one power that we need to remembering is the power is always in the gospel. It's not in Michael, it's not in myself, it's not in other preachers with, you know, a great flowery speech, they got a charismatic personality, they have every word right there, they say the right thing. Look, if we're talking about where the power lies in convicting people, is in the word. Remember in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 when it said they were, when they heard the word, they were pricked in their heart? What pricked them? It was the word of God that pricked their heart. Now, of course, they had to believe that message. You had to believe that message. I'm going to turn over to Acts chapter 8. You're going to see time and time again what changes the lives of people. And people say, well, Chuck, where's the power in the word? It's there. Acts chapter 8, verse 9. What do we read there? It says, there was a certain man named Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was somebody great. But look at verse 13. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the signs and the miracles. Here's a sorcerer. Here's a guy who bewitched people, fooled people, astonished people, considered him somebody great. And then here comes preaching. So he listens to Philip and he's like, oh, this is the real deal here. Now, they performed signs and miracles to confirm what they were speaking was the truth. We don't have to do that today. We have the complete revelation. But back then, you know, there were false teachers. You know, Simon could have heard other guys too. Yeah, everybody claims they have the truth, but they could confirm it with signs and wonders. But my point I'm trying to get us to see here is what changed his mind. It was being convinced that it was true. Being convinced that it was true. Now, brethren, look at, you're sitting beside your wife. Some of you are sitting beside your wife right now. Okay? Do you remember the first time your wife said, I love you? Remember that feeling? Right? Somebody says, I love you? Now, what if you went out on the street this afternoon and some stranger came up to you and grabbed you and said, I love you? You're going to go, whoa. Not quite the same reaction. See, when you believe that person, and this is what actually causes marital problems, when they don't believe each other. The wife says, I love you. No, you don't. I love you. No, you don't. See, you don't believe it, you got problems there. But I'll tell you this much, when it comes to the power of the gospel, I know there's a lot of people out there who reject it. And when people reject it, they say, well, where's the power of the word? It's there. Paul said, Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. For people that are looking for the truth, which is why I love Matthew 7:7, those who seek will find. And when they hear the word of God, that's what they're looking for. Folks, you can, I'm telling you, there are people that are looking, they just don't know where to go. And so we need to trust in this and get the, you know, Michael told me about the radio program today. People are looking for the truth. God helps people, directs people. That's how they find it. They're looking for truth. And that's why we're throwing it out there. And this is what you and I need to see. James chapter 1, verse 21. What is it about the word? It's one of the things I love about preaching the word. If it was left up to me, I would have quit a long time ago. But I just, guess what? Just get the message out, Chuck. Just preach the word. Our TV program, we do a Bible question and a Bible answer every week. And these are not questions like, how many people were on the ark? How many books are in the Bible? No. We're sitting there, do I need the Holy Spirit to help me understand the Bible? Do spiritual gifts exist today? You know, let's talk about, what does the Bible say about tithing? What about the use of titles? We're talking about religious people. It's religious people. Jesus talked to religious people. And so we're trying to spark something up there, make them think. And, you know, if they're really interested in the truth, and that's the goal. And I know it's not me, and I have to... And I'm telling you, folks, it's not me. It's not Michael. It's not us. We're getting the word out. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, which I really like. 1 Peter chapter 1. He talks about how important it is for us to realize the power of it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Well, let's back up in verse 20. I'm in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for us, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead, gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another with a fervent and pure heart. He says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but the incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. This is what changes people. And this is why I talk often about Mike Wittenheiner. He might come up this week. He attends in Evansville. He was in Newburgh, where I was preaching there. You know, we have a TV program. And Mike, I'll never forget him. It shows you the power of the gospel. Him and his wife were going from denomination to denomination. And he would grab his wife. As soon as they started teaching, he says, no, they're not staying with the word. He would take her out. They'd go to another group. They'd start preaching. No, he's preaching his opinions. Let's get out of here. Let's go. And so one day they're sitting at the kitchen table. Our TV program's on. And he says to his wife, we're going to go there. She goes, you go. I'm tired of you yanking me out. You go check it out. So he shows up on a Sunday morning. I'm in Alabama. I'm down there in a meeting. And Mike calls me, or Matt, one of our members, because Mike was the visitor. Matt says, hey, Chuck, a visitor came out. He said, he's been watching the TV program. I went up to him and I said, hi. And he said, hi, I'm Mike. He says, Mike says, where's Chuck? He says, oh, he's out of town. But we have somebody else preaching this morning. You know what Mike said? Well, I'm going to see if he's telling the truth. He never left. Brought his wife. They could see the difference. You need to understand this, folks. Radio, you know, you got all these religious programs on it. But I'm going to tell you, when you just preach the word, people are listening going, that's different. They're not ashamed of the gospel. That's what Paul said. Right? We read that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We'll talk about any subject because we're trying to help people. I'm not trying to make people mad, but we're going to talk about some things that are different so that it'll wake up people and open up their eyes and say, wait a minute, our church teaches this, but guess what? It's not in the Bible. And the two things that we offer, I got to mail some out this week. Just mailed some this morning. When we do the TV program, Kirk, we say, listen, folks, if you want this home correspondence course that gets you to open up your Bible at home, because why? The power's in the Word. So if you'd like to have this free six-lesson home Bible study course, you might be interested in these two pamphlets. You know what they are? I say, I put together 40 things that people say, and they're preaching from the pulpit that are in the Bible, and they're not, folks. And 30 things that people say they're not in the Bible, but they are, folks. And you can open up this pamphlet and see the verses, and you'll say, why do they say it's not in the Bible? And there it is. And why do they say it's in the Bible when it's not? And I say, I'm not here to debate that. I don't know why they do what they do, but you need to open up your eyes and see what the Word of God says and not add to it or take away from it. Power of the gospel. And that's what we need to rely on, folks. There's people in Olney that need the gospel, and there's power in it. So don't ever underestimate it. What else? When it comes to evangelism, turn to John chapter 17. What contributes to people being converted today? It is the power of prayer. Before I read what Jesus said, do you remember what Paul did over there in Romans chapter 10? My prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He's praying for them, brother. Pray. And I mean, pray for the lost. Pray for those who are seeking here in town. There's power. Pray for doors to open. That's what we do. Oh, what a coincidence, so-and-so. You pray for opportunities. This lady that Debbie and I were studying with, her dad was a Methodist preacher. She'd been in Buddhism. She'd been in all these different religions. Came together and started studying. She says, this is just like a breath of fresh air. It's different because of the word that is there. But you know what? Everybody, you know, brethren are praying constantly like Paul was. The lost are on his mind. In John chapter 17, beginning in verse 20, again, part of the prayer that we were talking about this morning. Jesus says in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for all those who might believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, I know you've been praying for this gospel meeting. We've been praying for this gospel meeting. We've got some friends that want to come up and support this meeting, which is great. Looking forward to seeing them. But that's what it's all about. You know, and pray for others. And you can pray for doors to open for you. But did you ever say, well, just pray that while Michael's at work or wherever he's out in the community, that a door will open to him? Really? Would that be appropriate? Well, listen to this in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I'll pick it up in verse 1. Masters, give your servants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in all with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in these chains. Wow. You're going to pray for Paul for doors to open? Yeah, pray for different people. We pray for members here. Pray for those opportunities because God will hear. God wants to help. And there's just so many people out there. Everything from co-workers to family members to visitors. Just the people that are listening on the TV program. Wherever it might be. Pray. There is power in prayer. And I'm going to talk about that. I was asked about a ladies' class this week. I want to do a whole lesson on the power of prayer. And you really don't need to pay attention to this point. If you guys can raise your hand right now and say, Chuck, listen, I just pray too much. Anybody here pray too much? I have a perfect prayer life? No. We can all, including myself, do better. And I try to remind myself of this, the value of this, and learning from Jesus and learning from others of how important it needs to be a part of our life. And we know that's true because it builds up our relationship with Him. This is God talking to us. Prayer is us talking to Him. And we have that two-way communication just like any marriage, right? You don't want the husband to do all the listening, the wife do all the talking, and or vice versa. Both need to be there. And you can see how bad it would be if neither one are there, if nobody talks, if we don't study and we don't pray. So let's just see the importance of that and seeing the balance that needs to be there. Now, having said all of that, these two are really powerful. There's power in the gospel. There's power in prayer. What else is necessary? What contributes to you and I being converted? Think about your own conversion, folks. I'm thinking about my own conversion. What did it? Well, it was those two things, for sure. Well, there was also this. See, in John chapter 8 and in verse 32, Jesus said this. You can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Really? Chuck, isn't it getting harder and harder for people to see the truth? I have feeds come up on my computer of these different religious leaders. I guess they're becoming more techie. So I get this guy who's way out there, John MacArthur, and he has clips on there. And you got all these religious leaders, and they got all the graphics, and everything looks kind of cool, and you're listening to these guys, and I'm sitting there going, wait a second, guys, that's just not right. Can people really find the truth today with so much garbage, that, for the lack of a better word? There's just so much false teaching that is almost, and I'm a broken record at Kirkwood by saying, when is counterfeit money the most dangerous? When is it the most dangerous? You know, when it's almost like the original. You're not going down to the dollar store here with a $500 Monopoly money. They laugh at you. But when something looks almost like it, that's what scares me. And so there's teachings out there, and it's making it harder and harder for people to differentiate between the truth and error. But I'm going to tell you this much. It's not impossible. If you want to find it, you can. Sadly, that Matthew 7:7 text, seek and you'll find, what happens there is what Paul warned Timothy about. People will find what they're looking for. See, the point is, everybody that enrolled for our sake, or even have a personal Bible study, or those who finished the correspondence course, It's not what they're looking for. Most people do not send back the first lesson. Most people, I think since we've been there, if I calculate my head quickly, it's probably around 700 people received their first lesson. Most of them don't send it back. Why? They look at that's not what, you know, what I got to put forth effort? Or or they start looking at it and they're learning some things there. They go, well, I don't want to listen to that. Well, should that surprise us? What did Paul tell young Timothy? Here's an evangelist that he needed to know this. He tells him, he says, listen, the reason in verse 2 why I want you to preach the word and be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, here it is. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What's that mean? Well, they had been enduring it, but they're not going to endure it anymore. You know, they've been listening to you, Timothy, or they've been listening to sound doctrine, but you know what? There's going to come a time they don't want to hear it anymore. So what are they going to do? He says, according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, because they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. There's people out there that want to hear lies, folks. It's the bottom line. Is that new? Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Do you want to know what happened with Eve? It's not rocket science. What happened? Eve heard exactly what she wanted to hear. What has God said? God said this, don't eat it. You know, we'll die. You shall not surely die. Oh, okay. Wait a minute, Eve. Why didn't you say, hey, serpent, where did you get your information? Why would God lie to me? And she's not asking any questions. And there's people out there, they're not asking any questions because they're hearing what they want to. And you and I wonder, can people really find the truth today? Yes, you did. I did. I came out of denominationalism. It took a while. I mean, man, you got to knock that stuff out of me. And when you're talking with people, and this is why churches can have problems. They had them in the first century because when people are converted, they bring baggage with them. Oh, you don't know everything. But you know what? The promise is true that people who are looking for the truth can find it. And we want to tell people that. And so the fact is that the gospel is for everybody. Yes. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. For God so loved who? The world. And it's in Matthew chapter 11 where Jesus says, you know, whoever comes unto me, I will give him rest. Whoever. So anybody, anywhere can obey the gospel. And don't give up. I don't want you to grow weary tonight, Lord willing, this afternoon, I noticed. The lesson this afternoon is, what causes good brethren to grow weary and quit? I'm going to talk about that later. But getting back to the promises of God that we're talking about here, we need to trust in it. And that's related in the point number one. That's why Paul wasn't ashamed to teach it, because he knows those who look for it can find it, can obtain it, can obey it. And the promise is true for those who will receive that. And this is why it sets us up for, I'm glad I got a good amount of time left here today to focus on this next point, because I want us to see that I can trust that people can learn the truth. I can. When I'm studying with people, I can't tell you the times where I went to my wife. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I said, listen, I studied with a husband and wife today, Deb. I says, the wife is really, really interested. He couldn't care less. Guess who obeyed first? Him. You think we know people. I'm not to be a heart inspector. Just sow the seed. Don't be judgmental. Oh, they'll never receive that. The friends that I'm not going to invite them to the meeting. They'll just say no. No, never know. Or I've invited them before. Well, okay, but maybe something's changed in their lives. So that brings us to this one. Now we need to be careful about this as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I need to be mindful of this as a teacher. I want to persuade people. Agrippa told Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. We got to persuade people to become a Christian. Well, how do you do that? Well, how do you not do that? Well, first of all, In second, I don't know why I went to 2 Corinthians, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul mentioned how he did not come to these brethren and speak to them. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of what? Human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power." We're not going to get up here. Michael and I don't want to be stand-up comedians. You know, we don't want to be such a powerful speaker